everyone. Welcome back. My name is Sarah Mead, and as panel co-captain, I've had the pleasure to help organize the discussion on the influence of digital on CIO leadership. Please welcome our moderator, Niels von Stad, research scientist at MIT Center for Information Systems Research. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everyone. And as I'm welcoming you, I'm going to have my panelists join us as well. And I am thrilled for this opportunity to learn from our panelists about how digital is influencing the role of CIOs. And actually, with these accomplished panelists, we're actually going to learn about how they are using digital to influence their organizations and really improve their customer experience. Before we do that, I want to just acknowledge our sponsors and our patrons. Without their support, we at MIT CSER would be unable to do research on topics like CIO leadership. One of the things I've been doing over the past 5 years now is collecting data together with a network of CIOs in Europe called CIONet, been collecting data on what exactly CIOs do with their time. There's a lot of concern in Europe about the gap between demand and supply for e-skills and for digital leaders. And so one of the factors that we've been addressing is the lack of awareness of what CIOs do. A lot of people, business leaders, students contemplating what to study, they have a perception that CIOs are these reluctant order takers that are simply there to make sure they have access to email or the internet. And I was horrified at that. And so we decided to start surveying CIOs to really raise awareness about what they do. And we asked them, this is a questionnaire that's based on the work of Stephanie Warner and Peter Weil. And we asked them three questions, you know, about how they distribute their time across these three activities: managing IT services, managing business processes, and engaging with external customers and partners. We also asked for each of those three areas of activities, what percentage of their time was spent engaging with non-IT peers. And then finally, we asked them how they spent their time last year and how they anticipated spending their time 2 years from now. And the results are quite striking because they help understand and they highlight two important ways that digital is influencing CIO leadership. The first way is that digital is expanding the strategic roles of CIOs. You can see from the data results here that CIOs are not simply spending their time managing IT services. In fact, when you look at how CIOs spend their time across these three areas of activities, we identify, and this has been consistent for over 4 years, three different types of CIOs, and they're listed here. This is the data for 2014, for last year, where 36% of the CIOs were what we call technology-driven CIOs. They spend, on average, about 70% of their time engaged in managing IT services, and then the rest of their time with business processes and then with external customers. The second type of CIO are what we call business process-focused CIOs. And there you can see that they're spending about 46% of their time managing business processes. And that's in contrast to the other types where you can see in the vertical that it's only about 21% or 27%. And then finally, you have customer-driven CIOs. These represent about a quarter of the CIOs that we surveyed last year. And these are folks that are more focused on engaging with external customers and partners. So these three types of CIOs are all spending time across those three activities. So they're not just managing IT services. What this data shows is that these CIOs are all taking advantage of the opportunities that digital brings to their organizations to create significant value, not just in making sure that the organization has strong IT capabilities, but also making sure that the organization has very strong business process capabilities and is enhancing the customer experience. So that's the first point that this data highlights, is CIOs are not simply managing IT services, they're really taking advantage of digital to create other types of business value. The second point that I want to highlight is that CIOs are able to take advantage of digital in these three ways by working with non-IT peers. So whether it's the chief marketing officer, whether it's the chief operating officer, the CEO, et cetera, CIOs are not able to realize this value on their own. And so they're getting better and better at working and engaging with non-IT peers. On average, last year, the CIOs that we surveyed were spending about 40% of their time engaged with non-IT peers. What's interesting is that was true across all three types of CIOs. So the amount of time that they were spending engaged with non-IT peers, that actually wasn't any different across the three types. All three types of CIOs needed to spend about 40% of their time with non-IT peers. When we first started this survey 4 years ago, the average was about 30%. So not only are CIOs required to spend time with their non-IT peers in order to realize the value that digital provides and promises, but they're doing it engaged with their non-IT peers and spending more and more time doing so. So the panelists that we've got today, they're going to help us understand how they are taking advantage of the opportunities of digital, how they are working together with their non-IT peers in order to convert the disruptive potential of digital technology into competitive advantages. And so we've got first Sean. They're not obviously seated in the order of the slide. So Sean Banerjee is from, actually I'm gonna introduce you last because you're gonna provide the overview from everyone. So I'm gonna go first with Brooke. Brooke is the Chief Vice President and Chief Technology Officer at Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, one of the world's leading education companies. And Brooke not only is responsible as a CIO, but he also is responsible for core IT operations. So a nice example of a CIO that's doing more than just managing IT services, but also really focused on business processes, and we'll hear from him about also the customer experience. Federico Flores, next to Brooke, he is Chief Information and Innovation Officer at Ferrovial. He started off in 2008 as a Chief Information Officer for Ferrovial, the first for the whole company. And his first job was really to integrate 10 separate IT units into a single global unit. That went very successfully, and so then he was given the responsibility to take charge of some core global processes such as purchasing. That went well, and now he's been promoting and fostering a culture of innovation throughout Ferrovial and throughout the four main business units of Ferrovial. And as a result, he's now earned the title of Chief Information and Innovation Officer. Next, we've got Peter Nickel, who is one of the finalists this year for the CIO, and he is head of information technology, responsible for IT at Axis Health ICT for the state of Connecticut. And I know several of you have already been introduced to Peter. I want to highlight the fact that he has taken the traditional role of the CIO to such a level, really enhancing the business processes, enhancing the customer experience to such a degree that now the services that they have developed for the state of Connecticut, they're now able to provision to other states. I think that's quite a testament to the kind of leadership that he's led. And then finally, Sean. who's going to provide us an overview. Sean has a great deal of experience engaging with CIOs and helping companies really find the right kind of digital leaders for their needs across a variety of sectors. And so we're going to hear from Sean about his expertise and his broad overview of how digital is influencing the kinds of CIOs that organizations are demanding. So I wanted to, so please actually if you could just thank the panelists for joining us. Well, just a little round of applause. So I wanted to start off by grounding this discussion in some recent accomplishments that each of them have realized, the CIOs here have realized. And so I'll start with Brooke. If you could just describe a recent accomplishment that really kind of helps illustrate the kinds of value that a CIO such as yourself is creating in your organization.
Yeah, great. I mean, I think, you know, I could go on about technology accomplishments, but I think what's really important to highlight is the cultural transformation that we've gone through. We've consolidated several different technology teams over the last couple of years into one technology team, and so both sort of back-end and enterprise fueling systems, as well as to the customer delivery systems, the systems that enable learners across the country and the world to access our quality content and systems. And so we've gone through a cultural transformation both in HMH and in adopting Agile, which we've called HMH Nimble, to take off the A word, which some people said, you know, it just got divisive because it was too technical. And we've really opened up a lot more of the environment. We have an idea of show, don't tell, prototype, don't PowerPoint, and giving this idea of show working code and show this transformation faster and more iterative, and it's really taken hold this past year. And I think, you know, this is fueling the change and transformation that we're delivering into our customers, and it's giving us a new opportunity. As even today, we just announced we're gonna be having a developer contest. And so all of this is based on the idea that, you know, ideas don't just come from one place. They're not all from the CTO or CIO. They come from everywhere. And that, you know, if we can take smaller iterative chunks and we can move in a more quick or nimble manner, we can accomplish a lot more. And so, you know, I'm just thrilled by it. It has really affected morale in a positive way, but it's also helped really increase the velocity of our delivery to our customers too.
And how long has this transformation been underway?
You know, Agile was getting adopted before I arrived within the engineering team, and I have always been a believer because I study history and I watch people in my role lose their job when they have these massive projects that fail, that never meet the timeline. So we don't have massive projects. We have small, chunkable projects. They may have a big theme to them, but we can continue to show progress and do that. And so it's really taken hold over the last 2 years. I believe that Agile can go all the way into the data center. It can go to anybody. You can take budgeting in Agile, and you can sit in a room and use post-it notes to solve problems rather than trying to look at this massive spreadsheet and figure out how are we going to cut 5 million or whatever that number is. So it's been a full adoption across both my team, the technology group, but also it's really gaining legs throughout the entire company.
Great. Federico, give us a sense of the effect of a CIO at Ferrovial recently in a recent accomplishment.
Well, it changed the role very dramatically after many years of working very hard because, I mean, Ferrovial, my company, which is an infrastructure company, was built buying companies mainly. So we had many IT companies, many IT organizations, IT everywhere, many DP centers. So we had to centralize everything to look for synergies, to develop applications, vertical applications, externalize. At the same time, we used the cloud and software as a service. So we changed everything related with IT. And I think we were quite successful with that, and we obtained many synergies. And we are cross-function for the company. We know perfectly well the business process of the company. And for that reason, because innovation is, IT is a tool for innovation, we started with innovation 5 years ago. trying to implement a methodology for innovation within the company. And in that sense, what we are doing is to launch many projects of innovation every year, around 100 projects, and implementing innovation for looking for P&L improvement. So for us, innovation is any invention, but with P&L improvement. And we are looking, the key decision in that time was to implement an open innovation methodology. It could be very easy for me, because we have thousands of engineers, to take 100 engineers, 200 engineers, or 300, to put them in a beautiful building and to start performing research for our technologies. Instead of doing that, we did the opposite one. We said, okay, we don't want a building, we don't want engineers dedicated to research. What we want is all the employees of Rovial dedicated to innovation. And not only that, all the people who are studying things for infrastructure, startups for disruptive innovation, to work for our company implementing technology and innovation. In that sense, we changed the company and all the business lines, and now we are implementing amazing things in all the business lines that were incredible. We have drones in our construction sites, flying, taking pictures, and controlling the working process. We have sensors in every city where we provide services and controlling the waste management, the services we offer to the citizens. We are controlling with social networking what the citizens say about our services. I mean, we are trying to implement technology in a different view, because this technology comes from everywhere and not only from our company, but the key driver is to look for business, to look for more P&L for the company.
Great. And Peter, how about in your organization? Can you give us a recent example of an accomplishment, just to understand your role in the organization, the kind of value that you're helping to create?
Sure. In the last year, we've made a lot of strides towards quality and price improvements, and a lot of that centered around more of an agile approach with iterative shorter cycles, to expand on some of the other folks earlier. I think a lot of that was based off, Access Health Connecticut went live in 2013. Many folks thought we were done. The exchange is up and we're working. But actually, a month after that, we started to innovate and start to think about how do we transform our business and really focus around the digitization of our business model and how to transform that. We started off with mobile and really centered around the customer experience and trying to reach out to the customer, provide more accurate information in a more timely manner. And that extended into what type of capabilities do we have from an infrastructure standpoint, and how do we reach into other lines of business like brokers or payers or providers. And that expanded our opportunity to start to leverage APIs and really wrap our digitized business with an API so we can start to get interfaces. A lot of the challenges is really centered around innovation and how do you innovate. And if you're focused around trying to firefight every day and keep the lights on, it's tough to innovate, right? And you don't have time, and nobody on the board wants to hear that. So you have to kind of segment how you innovate with how you keep the lights on. And I think that if you continue to firefight, right, it's going to kill a lot of the strategic thinking in your organization. But you can't be, a strategic partner without a strategy, but you need time to build the strategy. So how do you kind of balance those two roles? And our approach has been really to focus around value and trying to explain to our leadership and the board around how we create value. And one of the opportunities is, trying to educate the board and other executives, not just IT, but the CFO and CMO and really, our partners to help empower them. And it's less about, IT being the center and the epicenter and really being a supporter. And how do we enable the CFO to really feel like he's articulate and can explain what's going on in technology as it relates to the P&L? And that's the opportunity that I think we have. And it's challenging because as we start to, become more efficient, we start to mature. And that efficiency removes the variability, which removes the innovation that we're trying to inject into our business lines. And if we can try to focus a little bit more on focusing on the people That's really where we're going to start to get some real value. And it kind of goes back to you have to know the business, and you have to build engagement to get traction. So if you don't know the business, that's kind of a non-starter. But if you assume that you're getting educated and you know the business and you start to build engagement, that change and that transformation starts with one person. So some of those key people obviously have to be part of that transformation discussion. And once you start to flip them, then it opens up the discussion and builds that curiosity. And that's really where the discussion starts.
And I'll ask all of you for more about critical success factors for engaging and educating your peers. But before that, Sean, we've just heard three examples of CIOs who are leading significant changes and creating significant value. From your perspective, what kind of demand are you hearing from organizations? What are they looking for when they need a new CIO?
Sure. And I think it's one of the things I like best about Symposium, Nils, is hearing about all these wonderful success stories, because in my line of work, often we're called in when things haven't been as optimal as perhaps the leadership would have desired. And really what we've seen is a pretty dramatic evolution just in the last 2 to 3 years, where the role of the CIO has really bifurcated, and many organizations historically would benchmark a best-in-class CIO as a great process leader, a great business operator, the general manager of the functional utility. You know, we've got to run the business. It must be robust. It must be seamless. It must be secure. It must be scalable. And those are not without their challenges, certainly. But what we've seen now is an evolution of a new paradigm of leadership where the CIO, and in that old paradigm, I mean, you could certainly demonstrate value through metrics such as, you know, performance and uptime. But what we're seeing now is a shift to really creating commercial value for the organization. So it's not, you know, or how many servers do we have, or, you know, how big is the budget or the corresponding headcount. It's how are we measuring this value that's being created? And I think we heard some pretty good examples right here. But digital has now added a further wrinkle where you have to do all of the legacy things and do them superlatively, because if for a moment there's a fracture, then you don't get a chance to actually take on the more strategic, and Peter, I think you articulated this perfectly, when you're fighting those fires, that erodes the time that you have to focus on driving innovation. And we're seeing some of the relationship dynamic shift as well. So historically, a CFO-CIO relationship was, you know, a very important one, and we maintain it will continue to be prominent. But there are emerging new relationships, such as with the marketing organization. And we heard from some of the earlier panels today, you know, whether it's shadow IT or vendors coming directly to the marketing organization. But that's a new and pronounced partnership. And if the CIO and the chief marketing officer are not able to forge a productive working alliance, well, that's creating another opportunity altogether, which is the chief digital officer. And that individual will come in, supersede the CIO for many of the more innovative aspects of the role, as well as potentially marginalize the CMO. So these are some of the changes that we're seeing. And as I tell people, this is absolutely the best of times to be a CIO. It's also one that is fraught with significant challenges because the skills and the expectations are sometimes incongruent.
Did any of you want to comment on what Sean just said? Brooke,
I mean,
you were...
I would just say, you know, hearing about it, I mean, I think the first part of this is just the table stakes. Right, so it's like the 20% of your job that used to be 100% keeping things running, reducing cost, enabling collaboration, and that's table stakes. And it's, you know, you got to do that in 20% now and spend 80% on engaging with customers, opening up ideas, finding new ways to innovate, you know, creating new product lines, and you know, opening up APIs and creating the platform economy of the world that Marshall talks about, and this whole new line of world out there.
Federico?
Well, I think that what changed is the environment. I mean, in IT we have now cloud, we have software as service, we don't have the equipment, the infrastructure, we have almost nothing if you implement something different in the cloud. So the environment changed, but also it changed that that IT is everywhere. I mean, all the business people are demanding IT, and even not only demanding, they come with the IT, with the solution, because they show a solution there, and they say to you, okay, there is a solution here for my business, And please help me to implement that. And that is good, because you can be opposite to that, but this is a way of making business. And you, the role of the CIO is to perform more business for the company and to improve the P&L. So what you have to change is the way you work. I mean, you have to be more in a collaboration environment, trying to implement different things with different stakeholders, which are completely new for you, because our role in the past was only dealing with business people in our company. And in that, we were more or less good. We tried to manage. But now you have external entities, external companies, people with no IT knowledge, with the solution of IT for the company. And in that sense, if you don't do that, somebody will do. Because business is the owner of every solution today. So you have to implement different collaboration projects in a different way.
I'd like for you guys to highlight some of the critical success factors for engaging with others outside of IT as you've gone through this journey. I mean, you've described this journey of really developing stronger innovation capabilities in the organization, but not necessarily starting from there. And so as you know, how does a CIO who's still, say, stuck with infrastructure spaghetti and has to go through the process of first, you know, fixing the digital platform before even thinking about enhancing operations or you know, improving the customer experience. What were some of the factors that helped you folks engage with others in the business and kind of move to the position that you're in now, where we're really focused on innovation?
Sure,
Peter.
I can start. Part of the challenge is really trying to understand what's going on. And if we look at ourselves as being IT and the business being over there, by default, you know, we're not the business, so we're a cost center. So we should be, you know, eliminated, and we should start to crank those costs down to eventually be zero or as close as we can get. So you really have to be the business. And I always challenge my team, don't try to think like the business. Why don't you try to be the business? Because that's really what we're trying to do, and run the technology supporting our operational centers and our other entities as a business unit. And that's not only fiscal responsibility, it's also trying to realize those operational gains. And, you know, on the flip side, I think the other challenge is really trying to identify, and I mean, if you're not sustainable in terms of stability, you're not going to have a discussion. So I mean, you do have to get a grip on that first. But somebody mentioned trust, and I think that's really kind of where it centers around. It's how do you build that trust and that relationship with something that's an unknown? And it's kind of a vaporware type of product, and it's kind of cool on paper, but does it add value? And try to explain that not all this value is going to have an immediate revenue stream and hit the books. So that discussion needs to start to happen with those leaders, and it's slow. You know, it's not going to take a day or two to get that transformation, but it also starts organizationally with everybody in the organization. You know, one thing we did last week is we trained the entire company on the five whys, which is a Six Sigma principle on, you know, causal factors of root cause. And I remember being in a meeting, and one of the, you know, senior executives came to me and said, "Why are we doing this? Do I need to be there? I have 2 hours blocked off." I'm like, "No, but 30 minutes, you do need to be there." So I think it's kind of like rippling it down to have people ask the right questions to get towards the right answers.
And it's, that sounds key for pushing back constructively as well. I mean, that seems to be a key aspect of not just CIOs, but the rest of the IT group is learning how to push back a bit rather than just simply take the orders and run with it.
And engage, you know, really try to empower those organizations, because if you try to pitch that value by yourself, it's going to be a really long-winded sales pitch that won't really result in a lot. But if you go in as a team with the marketing officer or some of the other partners on the leadership team, well, now you're kind of in it to win it. And everybody kind of agrees that this is the right directional approach. And you have a lot better chances of resulting in, you know, adoption and a successful business outcome with that organizational engagement.
Mm-hmm. Federico?
I think that innovation is totally different from the classical IT. I mean, it's different in the metrics. So for me, the success factor is you need the sponsorship. You have to believe in innovation within the company, but not only you. I mean, the chairman of the company and the executive committee, they have to believe in that. And why? Because, we know, in our case, I launch every year 100 projects of innovation, 100, okay? And I spend money. At the end, we implement only 30, more or less 30. So there is no business case for that. I mean, we have to educate all our employees. They receive education, but there is not business case at the beginning. We look for startups. Normally, we have to look for 100 to obtain two or three, which can be of interest for Ferrovial. No business case behind. So if you don't believe in that, you cannot test, you cannot do pilots in order to implement projects of innovation. So for me, the crucial, critical success factor is the sponsorship and the culture of the organization and the empowerment of all the organization to believe in that.
Brooke, I know you've worked also hard in a point that Peter made, which was, you know, encouraging IT not to think of themselves as separate or distinct yeah. from the business.
Yeah.
Can you say a bit more about how you've developed that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the success factor is sort of, and it may be a tough crowd to hear this, is I think the word IT has a bad sort of message. It's sort of, it's kind of like ERP, really doesn't really sing happy thoughts, right? And so for us, we got rid of the term IT. We're now the technology group inside of our organization. And that was one, to not fight the IT brand and just recognize that it had a troubled past, so we're changing the name. And then second to that is, and look, I come from politics and spent many years in this. I think this success factor